But I want to talk some football right now. We are joined by a three-time Pro Bowler, 43 career interceptions. He tied the NFL record with 4 interceptions in a single game. The only player in NFL history with 5 fumble returns for a touchdown and 5 interception returns for a touchdown. He was an All-American at Virginia Tech. He owns the Virginia Tech record for returns for a TD with 7. He was the 8th pick in the 2004 draft. We're joined now by D'Angelo Hall. D'Angelo, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. It's been a while, buddy.
It's been a while, man. It's great to hear your voice. Let me ask you now. There's been reports, D'Angelo, the last couple of days that you've retired, but it's not 100% official. So where are you right now in terms of thinking about your future? Where's your head at?
I'm still weighing all my options. I don't really want to play, but if the right, situation comes around, then, I haven't ruled out totally playing. But I have been focused more on TV and, radio and things like that here the last couple of months. And so I'm really enjoying that. I'm really kind of looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to the next chapter. And so even though I haven't officially retired yet, that was kind of a false report. But I'm pretty close to officially retiring. But, if the right situation comes around, I haven't totally ruled out getting back on the football field.
That makes sense. D'Angelo Hall joining us. Now, the fact is, you have played football at the highest level for a really long time. It can be tough to walk away. So when the fall rolls around, and I heard what you just said, for the right situation, maybe. But when the fall rolls around, do you get the sense that you might want to play again? Like, if a team calls in August, how would you handle that? Would you take that phone call?
I'd probably take the phone call. You got to hear them out and kind of just see where they're coming from and see what they envision. But like I said, once I move on, I'm going to move on. I'm not going to pull a Jay Cutler and go ahead and get a TV job and then a team calls me and then, leave the TV job and go back and play football. For me right now, it's really just trying to figure out what national interest I do have. And just kind of weighing those options, trying to figure out what best fits me and my family, and really going from there.
D'Angelo Hall, my guest. Listen, you've got a great personality. Broadcasting would obviously be a natural move. When you look at broadcasting, how would you approach that? I mean, would you want a studio gig? Would you want to do games? Would you want to do your own talk show? How are you going to approach broadcasting?
I kind of envision myself always kind of being like, pregame show, studio type of format. I enjoy calling games. I enjoy watching games and commenting and kind of putting my own little spin and flair on it. It's not a lot of DB guys who are, in those booths calling games. It's more offensive-minded, quarterback kind of geared, quarterback-driven, presence in that booth. And so to have a defensive guy and kind of his perspective, I enjoy watching Rondé do it, and I still do. And so, I think I would definitely bring a different vantage point to that arena for sure.
Hey, listen, at the same time, it's not broadcasting or bust, right? I mean, you've shattered Bruce Allen in the past. You wrote up scouting reports at the Combine. Is there any part of you that might be interested in maybe getting involved with the team from a front office perspective?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I joke with Bruce all the time. That's the thing that's so frustrating. I enjoy so much. I'm such a football junkie that, I can see myself calling games. I can see myself in the studio analyzing, the outcome of games or predicting games. I can see myself on the field coaching. I can see myself, obviously, in that front office capacity. And, I absolutely enjoyed myself at the Combine, just sitting there breaking down players and, talking to our other scouts and front office guys and seeing how they saw guys and why. And then telling them why I see, this guy being a little better than the other guy. And so, I definitely could see myself in that front office exec role for sure.
D'Angelo Hall, my guest. One more thought about the future. You had a great quote earlier this week. You said, "I had a vision of a gold jacket, but the injuries the last couple of years have been very hard on me, so that's kind of out of the question now. But who's to say I can't get in there some other way? That's kind of my focus. Mm-hmm. I still want a gold jacket. Whether I can get one as an exec, a coach, I'm going to get me a gold jacket, a damn gold jacket, and believe that." End quote. I love that. So the question is, and it's the same question for almost any athlete once they leave the game, you've got this fire, you've got this passion, you've got your drive. What do you do with it? How do you channel that once you're off the field?
You try to you try to put it in the right direction. You know, you try to put all that energy, you know, in the right direction. And you mentioned me wanting to be a front office guy, and I was like, you know, the closest thing to getting that, you know, because having never got a ring as a player, you know, it kind of goes on the same lines as getting that gold jacket. You know, you got to have rings. And I feel like, you know, that's why I kind of teeter back and forth on front office versus coaching versus TV, because, you know, I probably can't get a gold jacket on TV. And so I kind of always want to build a team like a Bill Polian and Charlie Cashley and some of those guys who've done it the right way from an executive standpoint. And so, when I met John Lynch before our game last year, I told him, ball out, man, because I'm rooting for you, you know, because guys like me, we need to have guys like you have success from playing to, you know, to the booth, to, you know, and to that front office role, because I think it'll open up a lot more doors for, you know, for a lot of us other guys who are trying to do those things, like John Lynch and John Elway, actually.
D'Angelo, what about John Lynch? Are you at all surprised that he's having the kind of success that he's having right now? And what do you think about the job he's done there?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I can remember sitting in production meetings with John Lynch, and, you know, just how in depth he knew our roster and, you know, the needs and the deficiencies we had. You could tell he had, you know, a great mind for the game of football. And I think some of that information got back to a lot of team owners and, you know, team presidents and GMs. And so, you know, it was a little shocking because I didn't even know that was something he was interested in. But when I saw he got the job and was paired with Kyle Shanahan, I was like, oh, man, that's a match made in heaven, you know, because those two guys are definitely going to be on the same page. Because that's the problem, you know, you typically run into is, you know, your head coach has a vision, your GM has a vision, and, you know, sometimes even the president has a vision. And instead of everyone being on the same page, they tend to bicker amongst each other about, oh, we should have got this guy. And so they're not 100% behind the guy that they do get, as opposed to, you know, everyone being on the same page. And so John and Kyle, I mean, I think they're a great combination. I got to, you know, run up in their room a little bit at the combine and talk to them. And, you know, I think they're doing great things, and I think they're going to be a heck of a football team.
D'Angelo Hall, my guest. Listen, the point that you just made is a really, really good point. Was that an issue in Washington? Were guys not on the same page in terms of the coach and management and ownership?
No, I didn't see that firsthand. Obviously, I think everyone knows, publicly what happened with the Scott McLuhan situation. And I don't even think a lot of players really knew how in-depth that situation went. But I felt like from top to bottom, you know, they all were on the same page. I think Scott got let go for other issues. But I never saw that firsthand. But I'm just speaking in general of most organizations. That tends to be, kind of the problems that surface when it comes to, you know, a head coach, a GM, and a president. You know, if you can get them all on the same page, you'll be a pretty successful franchise. You look at those guys up in New England, even though Bill Belichick kind of runs the whole thing, but because he runs the whole thing, everyone's on the same page, and those guys have been the face of consistency and success over the last 10, 15 years.
You know, when you talk about that yellow jacket in the ring, D'Angelo, I think you're one of the first guys I've ever heard say, even if I have finished playing, that doesn't mean that I've finished chasing, that I still want that ring and I still want that yellow jacket, or there might be a way to get it. You know, the thing about the ring, is there, among players, is there a distinction between haves and have-nots, or do you look at the ring like, you know, it's not meant to be for everybody? Not everybody ends up in a situation where you can win a ring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm smart enough to know in this league, you know, you got to have some luck too. You know, it's not all about who's the best or who's the best team. Sometimes you just got to have some luck. The ball has to bounce your way. You know, you watch the Giants and those guys to win two Super Bowl rings. I was drafted with Eli. And, you know, you talk about winning two Super Bowl rings, and those guys barely squeaked into the playoffs, weren't the favorites by a long shot. You look at a Ben Roethlisberger who just luckily got to a Pittsburgh Steelers team who had one of the most dominating defenses of all time, and he's able to get one. And then he comes into his own, and then, you know, he leads them to another one. And so, you know, sometimes it is luck, and I haven't been the luckiest guy when it comes to that. But, I look forward to the future. You know, my mom always told me she had a vision of me you know, walking on that stage, getting the gold jacket, and she's kind of said it for the last 15 years or so. And so I started believing it, you know, probably about five years ago. And then, you know, I got hit with the injury bug, and, you know, it's been kind of tough. But, you know, for me, I don't think guys really compare, you know, it's not like the NBA. I feel like in the NBA, a lot of the all-time greats do always say, oh, well, Charles Barkley doesn't have a ring, or this guy doesn't have a ring, as opposed to, in the football world, we tend to just respect the game of the guy across from us. And, you know, if he's worthy, he's worthy. But, you know, me being a historian of the game, obviously I feel like, you know, anybody's case is made of more when you have those rings. You know, like I said, it's going to be hard for me to get in there right now, even though I was back in the day, the youngest guy to 30 interceptions, the youngest guy to 40. And over the past 6 years, I hadn't touched the ball. And so it's definitely been frustrating. But, you know, like I said, I look forward to either getting in there as an exec, as a coach. You know, some way I'm going to get into that Hall of Fame, though.
D'Angelo Hall, my guest. You and I could chop it up for another hour. Before I let you go, though, you talk about touching the ball. You've always been a ball hawk. I mean, we can go back to that legendary strip of Roscoe Parrish that set the tone in the 2003 win over number 2 Miami. How do you explain the ability to force turnovers? Like, is it a skill that you work on and develop, or how much of that is just natural ability and a knack that you're born with?
You know, it's a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I've always wanted the ball, but I loved playing defense. I loved the aggressiveness and the physicality of it. You know, I loved being the tackler as opposed to getting tackled. And, you know, back in high school, I can remember making a play just like that play, except I was running straight towards the running back. And I literally, instead of, you know, I went to tackle him. And when I formed him up to tackle him, I could feel the ball. And I'm like, wow, I'm feeling the ball right now. And so I just spin out with the ball in my hand, take it out of his hand. And I mean, it was so graceful, Jim. I mean, I'm going to find that video.
Yes.
It was one of the most gracefulest plays I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that because it's myself, but as a high school kid to do that. And then, I mean, it just translated in college and in the league. And there's so many similar plays like that. You watch the Pro Bowl play where I strip Wes Welker. And I'm kind of forming them up, and I just, I feel the ball. And I just pull it out and keep going. And numerous other plays through the course of my career has kind of been like that too. And I tell some of the young guys, like, man, when I go to tackle, I don't really tackle the guy. I try to tackle the ball. And, you know, it's a little bit of a knack for it, but at the same time, it's a little bit of practice as well.
Let me tell you something, D'Angelo, and you know I'm coming from a place of respect. That's why I love you, man. That's you. To me, the way you just answered that question was you in your prime. You are in the middle of your career right now. That was a graceful play, and I'm going to find it for you. I hope you do. Last thought. There was this awesome moment on the NFL Network set last month when Jim Mora, who coached you in Atlanta, was telling a story about you and Randy Moss facing in the preseason, facing each other. Mora was saying that he told you Moss was fast, and then Moss threw his hand up to signal Dante Culpepper, and as Mora is talking, you crashed the set, and you were talking about that play. What do you remember about that specific play?
It is the reason I always say Randy Moss is the greatest player I have ever played against. Because, you know, you talk about me being a very cocky guy and feeling like I could stop anybody, I could run with anybody. I was an extremely fast guy. And to run up on a dude who makes you look like you don't even belong on the same field as him was a real humbling experience. And from that moment on, I knew that the NFL is not for little kids. It's for grown men. And I needed to grow up. I needed to learn technique and not try to go out there and just out-athletic everybody. And, you know, I really became a student of the game after that because, you know, hearing Jim tell me, I was like, all right, man, whatever, dude. But actually going out there and seeing it firsthand and getting exposed, I was like, I'm either going to be the hunted or the hunter. And from that moment on, you know, I tried to put my all into the game of football so that I did not become the hunted.
Tell you what, man, I can't get enough of this. I hate that this interview's over right now. 43 career interceptions. The only player in NFL history with 5 fumble returns for a TD and 5 interception returns for a TD as well, and still chasing the ring and the jacket. D'Angelo, man, so good to have you on the show. Let's do it again soon, and it's always great to have you here because you make this show better. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Jim. When I'm in L.A., I'm definitely coming out there. I'm coming in studio.
Can't wait to see you, man. I would love to have you, D'Angelo. You let me know. I'm going to clear everything out for you. Can't wait. All right, man.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Appreciate you. Have a great day. D'Angelo Hall. Man, I mean that. Like, I was flashing back.